We know hunting for good coffee can be frustrating and time-consuming. And with all the confusing labels out there, it's hard to know that what you're buying is actually mindfully sourced and truly making a difference in people's lives. That's why we put together our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. Over the last 15 years, Joe Bean Coffee has built friendships with award-winning coffee farmers, ones we trust to consistently bring us amazing coffee year after year. Coffee tastes best at the peak of harvest, which is why we run our program like a CSA, regularly sending you a rotating selection of in-season coffee. You pick how many bags and how often you need it. We do the rest. And you can feel good knowing you're directly supporting small-scale coffee farmers. Go to JoeBeanRoasters.com for details.
And welcome to Nights and Weekends, the Sounds podcast about changemakers in our local music community. We're doing a series of episodes this week in celebration of Lilac Fest, which is coming up. And this year there are a lot of local artists that are a part of Lilac Festival, and we're really excited about it. It's a great moment for our city and our community. So today we are here with Carly Kraft and Justin Bartlett of Coral Moons. And not only are they playing the festival, they are also active contributors to our local music scene. So we're going to talk to them today about their thoughts on the Rochester music scene. We'll talk a little bit about Lilac Festival and all the change that's happening. So welcome, Carly and Justin.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for being here. And also Virginia Wood is here as well, who is our producer on the show. So
hey.
So let's just dive right in. So first of all, I know that you are both in the band Coral Moons, and you are also put on a festival every year called Morningside Festival. So I want to hear a little bit first about your band. Tell us about your music, and then we'll talk a little bit about, you know, contributing back with Morningside Festival.
Cool. Yeah. Coral Moons, we started in Boston almost 6.5 years ago.
That's it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we started in Boston, just a group of friends kind of getting together, learning how to play music. At that point, I just met Justin. I'd never written a song in my life. We were doing a lot of late nights, going to shows, and he kind of encouraged me to start writing music. So Boston was a blast. And then during the pandemic, we moved to Canandaigua, New York. So we had a transition of getting to know a different music scene, which was honestly incredible and refreshing coming from Boston. And yeah, love the Rochester music scene. It inspired us to have a little mini festival in our backyard called Morningside Fest. We are lucky and privileged enough to play a lot of major music festivals, which still surprises me and shocks me all the time. Pretty much every year we have the privilege of playing like 3 or 4. And one thing that's really special about those music festivals is the hospitality, getting to have unlimited sandwiches and beer backstage, and getting to see some of your favorite artists and getting to know really, really, really incredible people. And we kind of wanted to take that back and create something similar at our home. So we've never played Lilac Fest before, but we're really excited to see what kind of snacks they have. And we make a lot of food for people that come through our home, and that's something that's really special to us. So being able to share food at Morningside and also kind of get our favorite bands to play in our backyard and then give them a platform to share their music with the community is really important.
Yeah, that's amazing. I actually just picked up a book about, I actually forget what it's called, but it's about musicians on the road and the food connection that they have with the cities and the people around them. And you joke about snacks, but snacks are close to my heart too. And it really does, you know, draw you to create that connection with people. And it feels so welcoming when you can have an environment that, you know, just you feel, when you feel good and you feel nourished, you play better.
Yes. It's like, it seems like so basic, right? I think like there's kind of a big gap in the music community and scene between like venues and the bands that are coming through. I feel like there's nothing like showing up to a venue. The staff is so kind. They give you a free meal and, you know, they booze you up, get you ready to go on stage. You have a great time. And then, you know, like loadout is much better. Like you're feeling good, you know, like, but not all the time that you show up to a venue where people are kind and you have to pay for your meals, even though, you know, you're bringing people to their venue. It's a very complex situation. Not to say that, you know, any venue can afford to just, you know, give their food away. It's a very complex issue. But when you show up to a venue and you receive those things, it's like, yeah, you're like ready to go. You're like, I have food in my body. I can play this show, which sometimes can, it's like hard to get to that point and ask for that too.
It is. And I think like a lot of, especially, well, yeah, you're, when you're in the circuit of playing festivals and bigger venues, you expect that you have a rider, you,
yeah,
you know, can ask for those things. But if you're just, you know, showing up to play, a lot of times you're buying your own drinks.
Yeah. And, like playing a shitty bar, which yeah. is like a great thing too.
It's the best.
Those are always like the fun. Yeah. We always joke that like when we walk by a bar and we like smell the mop cleaner, like something so, about that is yeah. like so lovely. Like we've had so many good nights in like a space that looks and smells exactly like that.
Yeah. I'm like specifically just thinking of like Bottle Rocket in Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah. Have you been there before?
I haven't. That was since I moved from there. It's yeah. new. Yeah.
It's really fun.
It's an old like Elks Club.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
And, but the vibes are just like an old, like, well, it's an Elks Club. I swear it was like a bowling alley, like yeah. at some point. But those are like my favorite kind of venues yeah. where you roll in. They're like, here's our hot dog menu. And you're like, sick.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
This
yeah.
is awesome.
For sure.
That's yeah. the best. Is that kind of your inspiration behind Morningside, is getting everyone together and treating them like
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. I feel like for so long we played so many shitty clubs, and like honestly at no fault of those clubs. It's just like, you know, everyone's trying to get by. But then yeah, when you go to a music festival and you just like Boston Calling, like you're shucking raw oysters back, like unlimited oysters, you know, like, and then you're like so amped up for your show. You're like, I just had 25 oysters. Like, I'm ready to go. And like just being treated like that, go, like it just like puts so much purpose to like what you're doing. There's so many roadblocks and reasons to stop doing what you're doing. But then you have these like special moments where you feel good and nourished. And a lot of that, yeah, goes back to like getting a good night's sleep, eating food that is good for you, that makes you feel energized, like just like basic things. And then, yeah, like for Morningside, we want to cook people like really like home cooked meals. Like something about that is so special.
I think also something that we really like about the Morningside Fest is the fact that we're just trying to like create, a space so that you can like create music comfortably, because I feel like there's a lot of circumstances where you roll up to a bar and the sound's like not great, can't hear yourself, like you don't feel like you can like just perform to your best. So I think one of the things at Morningside mm-hmm. that we try to do is like create an environment where the musicians feel like they can perform at their peak and be able to like not have to think about, oh, I can't hear myself in the monitor, or like, oh, like, you know, I just like they're uncomfortable for various reasons. So I think that's like another aspect that we just want to make sure that we're like providing an environment for people to perform and like have a good time, like not have to think about things and yeah. just roll up, like share their music with everyone and make sure also the audience having a good experience of like what the music sound likes too, because there's plenty of times you go to a venue and you're just like, wow, I really can't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you have your earplugs in, because you're trying not to totally blow out your eardrums. But like just trying to create an experience where we want people's music to be heard in a way that is like enjoyable for everyone, both the performers and like the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so important to do that. I think, you know, that's half of getting to the show. That's half of... you know, enjoying it is yeah. just the experience outside of the music and feeling comfortable and feeling happy. So it's really great that you're doing that. And why, you know, like you said you moved to Rochester during the pandemic. So mm-hmm. What made you choose Rochester and how, you know, how do you like living here now?
Yeah. We both went to RIT.
Yeah, we did.
so we both have our time with Rochester. I think my family's from here, and our BFFs, Jake and Virginia, who I'm looking at right now, had moved back, and a couple other friends were kind of on their way back to Rochester at that time. So, yeah, we really wanted to, like, have a recording studio in our basement somewhere, and affordability-wise, that was not happening in Boston. Mm-hmm. So we started poking around in the Finger Lakes and in Rochester and just, like, found a log cabin, which feels like part of our identity now, which is so funny. I never thought we would find a literal log cabin. Like, it's made of eastern pine, like, 12 by 12 logs. but, yeah, it's a really inspiring place to make music. And what do you think about Rochester, Justin?
I mean, I love it. It's such a different vibe than Boston. I feel like people are, like, just doing things really well. Mm. Like, the art scene is great. Like, the music scene is great. People are, like, entrepreneurs. People are constantly trying to do new things like this. Podcasts, super cool. And they're just like, yeah, let's just do it. And yeah. that's, like, such a fun, like, energy. Whereas, like, other cities... like, specifically Boston, it just always felt like it had to be perfect before you could do the thing.
Yeah,
for sure.
So I like this, like, kind of, like, grassroots energy, and it's, like, very inspiring. So it's almost like the antithesis of what Boston was,
yeah.
which is kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah, we just did an episode with Rain Coated Records, and, you know, we were talking about just the DIY scene and just the ability, like, so many cities don't have, they yeah. do to some extent, but it's different, it feels different here, like you said, that grassroots energy and the ability to play, and it doesn't have to be absolutely perfect,
yeah.
it doesn't have to be up to any standard, you can just express, and 100%. That's something really special about the city, so it's cool that you guys feel that too,
yeah.
Because I know you're touring all the time, so yeah, and Virginia and I were talking earlier just about, you know, when you're touring, coming back to a place like Rochester and what that feels like, and does it feel like home now to you?
Oh yeah, it feels like such an oasis. I mean, just like going to the Bug Jar or the Psychic Garden, like, you know, there's something so special about the places that you see your friends do cool shit, and yeah.
I mean, it's always like the highlight of tour. Every single time, it's like, okay, when's the Rochester date? Cool. Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah, yeah.
like the best. Like, yeah. all of our friends are there. It's always a riot. It's super fun.
Yeah. People drink way too much and stay out way too late.
Which is how it should be, you know? Like,
yeah.
Bug Jar, you know, and sometimes you just gotta hang out super late. I yeah. say that as an old man who's like, I can't be out past 11 p.m.
11 a.m. Whoa.
On a,
whoa,
on a week
dude.
Night. I'm like, it's because we live in the Finger Lakes. It's a little farther out. But,
yeah, yeah.
It's but, cool. I mean, it's, I don't know. It's like, whenever we're touring, it's like, we love ending in Rochester because it's always just so much fun. Like, yeah. I don't think I've ever had a bad show in Rochester.
No, literally yeah. never.
And that's amazing to hear. I think a lot of musicians that are, you know, playing Bug Jar every week, which is
yeah.
which is awesome. And it's cool to get the perspective of people that are playing out all the time and still
this is venue.
Your yeah, yeah. which yeah. is really cool. And it's a special thing because not
sure.
a lot of cities can say that. So you, how many years have you hosted Morningside Festival?
I think three.
Yeah.
yeah.
This will be our fourth.
Fourth year.
Yeah.
And do you have a goal to grow that every year? Do you just want to keep it intimate? Like, what's your vibe with that?
My goal is, like, I really want a food truck. That's like the pinnacle. Like, I want to, like,
food,
get,
oh,
I am, this is like how I feel 100% about touring too. It's like yeah. each city we're in, it's like, I want to know what the local food is there.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. So like for me at Morningside.
So what kind of food are you looking for in a food truck for Morningside
know.
Fest? Like
garbage plate?
Like chicken
garbage
wings.
Plate
yeah,
would be
garbage
sick.
Plate.
I mean, tacos all the way.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Tacadero's
local.
So good.
I feel like we can make this happen.
Yeah, I know. Honestly.
We need to grow big enough because it's like.
Yeah. We're definitely like investing in the community with like, you know, paying bands. Like
yeah.
we don't, and like we do a sliding scale for tickets. So, you know, it's like we pay a good rate for local bands, but we don't make money ever. So we're, you know, we have to think about the expenses there.
Yeah.
But I feel like we could get enough people to go in on it to pay for their own. Like, there's a minimum. I think it's like $800 minimum usually for a food truck. And then whatever. Or, yeah, basically you have to pay out a certain point. And if your audience doesn't pay to that, you have to close the gap. So,
well, how about this? We'll put a call out to sponsors.
Yeah.
If there are any
food
trucks.
We're looking for sponsors.
That one, yeah. If they sponsor Morningside Fest, please call us.
Yeah.
Or DM us, because no one calls.
Yeah, I don't, like, please don't talk to me on the phone. That's way too scary. Like, just text me.
We are going to take a quick break right now, and we will be back to talk with Cora Moons about Lilac Festival. So stay tuned. You're listening to Nights and Weekends. Welcome back to Nights and Weekends, the Sounds podcast. Today we're here with Coral Moons, Carly, and Justin. Before we get back into our interview, if you like what you're hearing, you can support The Sound on Patreon. We have a page there for $3 a month. You can sign up and get some extra content and get the weekly roundups a bit early and just help support us in what we're doing and help us grow. So, yes, we are here with Coral Moons. They are performing at Lilac Festival this year. We're really excited. I think you both are really excited as well. Have you ever played Lilac Festival before?
Nope.
No.
But I've been there.
Yeah?
I've been there many times.
So typically, they don't have as many local artists. And I know there's a push this year to really get local bands. And I know a lot of our friends are playing. Tell me about that and how you feel about that.
Yeah. I mean, we've been trying to get in with the Lilac Fest for many years. I think Dave taking over, I think this is his second year taking over. Yeah. It seems like there's just a bigger highlight on these local bands. And yeah, it feels very special to see a lot of our favorite bands in the scene here being represented on that big stage.
Yeah. And I also feel like it's just a really, like, interesting lineup this year. Like, I feel like historically it's been more about like cover bands, which is great, you know, like people are still playing live music, which is cool, but the fact that this year has like a big focus around local and also just some really cool nationally touring acts that vary different genres, which is really interesting.
Yeah,
I'm feeling really excited about this year.
Yeah
it's gonna be sick.
So when is your set?
We're playing on May 18th at like 6 p.m., I think, or maybe 5.
Yeah, I can't remember the time, but it is on the last day.
It's on the last day, yeah.
So the last day, and do you plan on being there celebrating? What's your plan?
Yeah, last but not least, I feel like we'll be eating a lot of pickles.
Okay.
We have a big pre-show routine to eat pickles, so.
Tell me more, please.
Yeah, like homemade pickles.
Yeah.
Like before the boys come, I always make at least 3 big mason jars full of fresh quick pickles, you know, like the crunchy kind. Any other things you'd like to add there, Justin?
I mean, yeah, I think we're definitely going to go hang out, I think, was what we're really excited about. And I don't think the boys, like the rest of our band lives in Boston. And I don't think, I know Kevin's been, our drummer Kevin, he went to U of R, so he's got a little bit of history here in Rochester, but
Miguel did date someone from Rochester.
Yeah.
We kind of all have these like claim to fames with Rochester, and Miguel, our bass player, dated someone for a bit. Yeah. So he knows his way around.
That's all you need.
So we should ask him if he's ever been.
Yeah, I honestly,
might have.
Yeah. But anyway, we're going to try and like go hang out at Lilac Fest and spend some time there, because it is just fun to walk around and hang out. We'll probably do that the day before. And then during our show, we have like, you know, we have rituals before the show where we're like, can't really have fun too much beforehand. We just have to kind of like be focused. We have usually a pretty strict schedule. And then after the show, then we're like, all right, now we get to relax.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the best. I think like that's my favorite feeling is after you get off the stage, you're like, okay, here we go.
Did it.
Did the thing.
Yeah. Did the thing. Yeah. Gonna have fun.
Yeah.
I always like an ice cold beer.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Imagine if you had a post pickle.
I mean,
post show pickle.
Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah.
No.
All right. When Bad Bloom gets off the stage at your next show, we'll be there with a handful of pickles.
Like, great show. Here's a jar.
I have a better idea. Instead of getting a food truck for Morningside, just have a pickle stand.
Yeah.
Of cold pickles.
We can make this happen.
Yep.
Like, yeah, and since it's July 19th, the garden will be popping off. So, like, unlimited pickles, baby.
I mean, hey, you can't ask for anything more.
No, you really can't.
That's the best.
No, you really can't.
So, that's exciting that y'all are playing Lilac Festival.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. Jazz Festival is pretty big. Lilac
Jazz Festival. Fest is really cool.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. We're such a music city and...
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't take it for granted, but...
Yeah. My parents, like, growing up, they would just always take every opportunity to go to jazz, like, go to, like, at least half of the shows at Jazz Fest. Like, every night they would be downtown, like, going to that. That was, like, such a core memory growing up in Rochester. Like, oh, the Jazz Fest is coming up. Like, won't see mom and dad for a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, thinking about that and thinking about the festivals and how Lilac Festival is hosting more local artists and bands, what else do you think that we could be doing here in Rochester to enhance our scene and to make it grow bigger? Where do you see areas of growth, I guess?
Yeah, I feel like one of the biggest things that contributed to our success in Boston was having like those medium-sized venues to open for bigger touring acts coming through. I think, you know, having Dave be booking these really great nationally touring acts for Lilac Fest is huge for us because we get to share their audience and, you know, that like gets us into their fan bases. And if we had more of that in the scene with like, you know, 400, 500 cap rooms, that's like sustainable for our community, then, you know, we could have one or two local bands opening each of those shows and you can tap into those audiences of people who are already going to shows a lot and showing up.
Yeah. And I think that there's like this, not a discrepancy, but I feel like there's this gap where there's a community who go to say, let's like the Bug Jar. Like there are people who know the Bug Jar, who like love the Bug Jar, will always be there. And that's amazing. And then like, you need that. But I feel like something that could be really interesting, especially for the Rochester scene, would be exactly what you're saying. It's like, what's the next level up? So how do you like branch out to people who aren't comfortable, like, I'm not talking about like music people, like obviously music people love the Bug Jar, people get it, but I'm thinking about the fringe of that, where it's like you have people who love music, who love live music, but maybe aren't necessarily like know about like the Bug Jar. So it's like having a medium-sized venue where you have nationally touring acts that those people might know who they are, and then they learn more about the local scene. And then it trickles down where it's like, okay, they learn about, oh, wow, that was a really cool local band that opened for this band that I love. And then they continue going to other shows.
Yeah. Like, and it like brings more people to the Bug Jar,
exactly,
and the Psychic Garden. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's like the underground scene is really, really tight. It's like, how do you get other people who don't necessarily know about the underground scene integrated into that? And I think like 400 cap room with like touring bands would be sick.
Yeah. But obviously, you know, easier said than done.
Totally.
Getting touring acts through a city like, you know, with Anthology and Essex, you know, and it's like so difficult to just keep a venue open for a long period of time.
Yeah.
It's like heartbreaking because it's like the longer we can keep these venues alive and getting these touring acts through, like the more opportunity there will be. And then people will know Rochester as, you know, a touring town, not just like this awesome booming local scene. So
Yeah,
I agree. Complex.
Yeah, we have that talk with the band all the time, because it's like you play the same types of shows all the time with the same crowds that come to see your band.
Yeah.
And then what's that moment of growth? I think, though, there are people in the city that are starting to realize that Anthology is opening back up, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But Essex is closed?
Yes.
Okay. So to my knowledge, the Essex folks are going to Anthology, right?
I am not 100% sure.
Okay. I think that's what I heard.
That could be a good... You heard it first.
They know what they're doing. Yeah.
It's been leaked.
Carly has leaked it.
Don't quote me on that.
I think, like, either those venues that size, like, it's important, and it's also very important for bands to include smaller bands on their bills, sure, because that's a problem that, you know, tour packages are coming through where you have these really big bands and they don't want locals, which is understandable, right? But at the same time, how do you open the door for new people?
100%.
Yeah. So, I mean, in a world where Spotify has, you know, it doesn't help anyone, it's like you can't break through. You need to play live.
Yeah.
And people need to take chances on you.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to get to that. And I'm sure you felt that. It's hard to get to that from that smaller spot to the bigger spot.
100%.
You get stuck.
Yeah. 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 And I feel like, you know, we could have a whole other podcast about how to break through that barrier.
Yeah.
And, you know, like pushing the boundaries and like getting your live show tight and being super professional, like getting your EPK up to snuff, having live video. Like, there's so many things to do, but It still could keep you at a plateau, like, even if you're doing all the right things. So, yeah.
I think that's, like, a good point about, like, how do you, like, get to that next level? And, like, yeah, you said it perfectly, where it's, like, you have these bands that are touring through with, like, a full bill. And it's, like, you know, it would be, I mean, I understand why they do it for, like, financial reasons, pretty much. Like, it makes sense for them generally. But yeah, like, supporting the local scene is only going to make everyone grow. And like, that's something we also struggle with too. Just like reaching out to like bands that we feel inspired and we want to open up for at larger venues that we can never fill. And they have, you know, full bill put together. And you're just like, well, like, you know, we could bring this many people at this venue that we're really stoked about. Yeah, and like, you know, trying to get like the localness to kind of like bubble up.
I feel like that will just like forever be a part of the touring conversation.
Sure.
Of like, no matter what level you are, there's always going to be like somebody that you want to open for. Try to make it happen.
Yeah, no, that's what keeps things exciting.
For sure.
But it's really great that you have been able to experience that and tour the country and, you know, play amazing shows and then bring that knowledge and expertise back to Rochester, which you're then infusing back into the community by trying to do that for others. So that's really important work. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, so how do we get these venues going? And longevity, you know?
Should we just open a venue?
I know. I want people to know about this town. Like, we have an appetite for you to come to our city. So, come on over.
Well, we're trying to do the work over here. Yeah. So, the more we communicate and the more we come together, the stronger all of us will be. So.
Yeah, that's true. Wow.
So, we will end with our two questions that we ask everyone on the show. The first question is, who do you see in our community as a local change maker?
I think Scar. I know Scar was the first person on this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm so amazed by everything that he does. Like, the local art scene is thriving. We see it everywhere. It's like, it's just like so in your face. And I love that. I think Scar is amazing.
Yeah.
Gonna add to that if you want to learn more about Scar Markham, you can listen to episode 2 of Nights and Weekends.
Oh, wasn't episode 1?
It first interview, but episode 2, I just realized.
I see.
All right, Justin, what about you?
Oh, man. I mean, I'm always like super inspired by Comfy and Connor.
Yeah.
That man just is prolific songwriter. Shows are always amazing. Yeah. And, you know, he's always killing it. And any project he plays in, like, He's just great. Yeah. So he's pretty cool. He's a cool dude.
Also big fan of Connor and Comfy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Definitely solid local contributors to our scene. So you want to ask the last question, Virginia?
Why not? All right. So, Carly and Justin, who are you listening to right now?
Ooh. Who are we listening to right now?
I don't even know anymore.
I've been listening to Haim. You guys know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. I'm like on a real big Haim phase.
It's so interesting.
I know.
Did they release something new?
They released a single, but it has sent me to their farthest songs in their catalog. I saw them play at Boston Calling when we played 2 years ago, and they just blew my mind. Like, I will never forget their stage presence. And The Beaches are also on my repeat right now.
Oh, funny.
Obviously.
Yeah, naturally.
Yeah.
Bon Iver just released a new record. I have mixed feelings about it, but I'm kind of addicted to the first half of it, which is much more like his OG stuff, and it's really, really fun. So that's been in my ears. There was something else that I have on repeat. I just started
listening to a lot of emo recently.
Yeah, like, just like random, like, Spotify Midwest emo. But who was it? There was this band, Hot Mulligan.
Oh, yeah.
You guys know them?
Yeah.
I'm looking at Jake.
I'm like, Jake, I don't remember.
I'm not here. No.
I don't even know how it came up. I think I saw it randomly, and I'm like, yo, this song slaps. So I just started listening to their discography, and then it got me down a really fun path of, like, wow, this is the exact amount of angst that I need right now.
I love that energy.
Yeah. So like Bon Iver and then angsty emo, Midwest emo.
Yeah. It's like full spectrum on your playlist.
Yeah. It's like I'm sad, but then I need to like break something at the same time.
Yeah. It's the way we live.
Yeah.
First of all, you just released some new music, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about that before we sign off.
We just released a deluxe album called Summer View Deluxe, and it has some live tracks from our live show in 2024, even a few from The Bug Jar.
Wow.
Which is so fun, yeah. We'll be at the Lilac Fest on May 18th, and we have Morningside Fest in Canandaigua on July 19th. And our headliner this year is Lady Pills, which is also coming. They are also coming through the Psychic Garden sometime in May.
May 13th, I think?
Yeah, something like right before Lilac Fest. But they're also playing with one of our local faves, Croy, so should be a good show.
That's right. That's awesome. And we will have the links to buy tickets for Morningside Fest on thesoundrochester.com. And I'll also stick it in a link in my bio as soon as that pops up. Coral Moons, you can find them on Instagram, TikTok. Yep. I've seen you in all the places.
Yeah, we're like wannabe TikTokers, but like Instagram is our core Coral Moons band.
It's very millennial of you.
Yeah, dude. Write it all over my face.
We'll own it. It's fine.
I'm fine.
Look them up. Listen to their music. They're an incredible band. And come support Morningside Festival. It's going to be an amazing time. And thank you so much for doing this for our community. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you, Kate.
Happy
and Virginia.
Happy to sit with you and chat all the things. We are also thanking Lilypad Underground for letting us use the studio today. They are an incredible partner to us, and you can follow them as well. And if you have any recording needs, they're your people. So thank you for tuning in to Nights and Weekends. We will be back in a couple weeks. This is our Lilac Festival series, so we're doing all things in celebration. Thank you both again, and we will talk to y'all soon.